Our guest in this half hour makes an economic and environmental argument in favor of frack sand mining in Wisconsin. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Thursday, May 2nd. The last time we talked about the booming frack sand mining industry in Wisconsin, we talked with State Senator Kathleen Vinehout, who was introducing legislation to regulate the frack sand mining industry. And she talked with us about the environmental and health concerns of her constituents in western Wisconsin, where a particular type of sand used in the fracking process to obtain natural gas is prevalent. Our guest in this half hour wrote a piece for the latest issue of the Wisconsin Policy Research Institute's publication, Wisconsin Interest, where he says environmentalists should embrace, not fight, frack sand mining. So what do you make of that? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Mike Nichols, Senior Fellow at the Wisconsin Policy Research Institute. His piece, Mining Success, Wisconsin's booming frack sand industry is lighting up the economy and may even help reduce global warming, is linked to the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. He joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
So how is sand frack mining lighting up Wisconsin's economy?
Well, in a lot of ways, I live in southeastern Wisconsin. Folks in the western part of the state are probably more familiar with the huge impacts in terms of jobs and revenue and taxes. But, there are probably 100 mines right now and a whole bunch of processing facilities have directly produced probably, 2,000 jobs, Joy. And then if you look at kind of the broader job creation numbers, probably many, many multiples of that if you go beyond just the frack sand, industry impact to kind of what they call the impacts of the unconventional oil and gas industry, because, Wisconsin has a lot of other ways that jobs are created through that industry. So, a lot of jobs created up to $1 billion in new revenue and hundreds of millions of dollars in tax revenue from, again, what they call that unconventional oil and gas industry.
Yeah, but at what cost, critics would say? There's hundreds or so of these mines, but some residents are concerned. They don't like, the sand flying around and the trucks rolling around and the scars on the environment, that sort of thing. What about that?
Oh, sure. Those are absolutely valid concerns. I hope folks will read the article. I think it's pretty balanced. Certainly acknowledges that there are good reasons for concern at the local level. If you have a mine in your backyard, they definitely have an impact to the landscape. But these are local issues. If you look at this acknowledge those, happy to talk about them. If you look at the kind of the broader picture, and environmentalists are often, I've got to sort of have a mantra to say, hey, think globally. If you think globally, kind of the impacts of the increase in really cheap natural gas are pretty substantial in terms of decreasing, energy related carbon dioxide emissions. And that really can't happen very easily without Wisconsin frack sand, because we're really the epicenter, in North America of frack sand. We happen to have this, very particular type of silica sands, essentially quartz, which is super hard and, the right shape and the right size. So, like all big, important issues, you kind of have to weigh the pluses and the minuses. But the pluses overall are, you know, after talking to a lot of folks, greatly, in my estimation, outweigh the minuses. Folks who live right next to these, and if they're not regulated property, if they're not done the right way, certainly there are negatives.
Well, what's your sense from your research on this? Are the current frack sand mine regulations in the state too loose, too tight, just right?
Yeah, that's the DNR thinks they're just right, you know, it's not like there are no regulations. They're regulated for air and water issues.
So, how exactly does frack sand mining help reduce global warming?
Well, you have to look at the broader issue of what fracking is and how it works and what it has essentially done. Joy, as I'm sure you know, is it has created an abundance of cheap natural gas that's available, and so what happens is that has enabled us to really wean ourselves to some extent off the use of coal. And so, cheap natural gas is really much, much, much cleaner way of making energy.
So natural gas, the use of natural gas can reduce these greenhouse gas emissions.
Yeah, in the sense that they can wean us off the use of coal, which they have done.
We are talking with Mike Nichols, Wisconsin Policy Research Institute Senior Fellow, talking with him about his piece that is in the Wisconsin Policy Research Institute's publication called Mining Success, where he talks about Wisconsin's booming frack sand industry, says it's good for the economy and may help reduce global warming. Should environmentalists embrace frack sand mining in Wisconsin? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's going to be a cloudy, cool day today. Snow and lots of it in northwest Wisconsin. Up to 12 inches of snow before it's over later today in parts of the northwest. Rain everywhere else in the forecast. High temperatures today between 37 in the north, 58 in the south. Coming up on the Ideas Network, we will talk with a guest who says that we can learn how to leave lasting legacies, resolve regrets, and die beautifully. So we will talk about dying beautifully and what that means after 8 o'clock. We are talking with Mike Nichols during the rest of this half hour. He is a senior fellow at the Wisconsin Policy Research Institute, talking about the economic and environmental case in favor of frack sand mining in Wisconsin. And as I suspected, lots of callers on this issue. Let's go to our first caller, and that is Mike in Madison. Hi, Mike.
Hi. Just some questions and a comment. What greenhouse gases besides carbon dioxide are produced by frack sand mines? How much carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases are produced by each mine, I guess? Isn't there quite a bit of greenhouse gases produced by trucking sand from Wisconsin to North Dakota?
Yeah, I get it. All right, thanks, Mike. So he thinks that there's lots of greenhouse gases being produced in other ways through the frack sand mining process, Mike Nichols?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I guess, yeah, there are probably emissions from trucks. I'm not sure how to quantify that, but if you kind of look at it from a broader perspective, Joy, I did talk to a guy by the name of David Victor, who's a professor at the University of California out in San Diego, and he's a pretty reputable guy. He's actually the author of something called Global Warming Gridlock. And so he estimates that the shift from coal to natural gas that we were talking about has actually reduced carbon dioxide emissions by up to 500 megatons per year. And you know, he acknowledges that's a ballpark estimate, but it's also twice the total reductions of the Kyoto Protocol throughout the rest of the world. So, I mean, it's not just me saying that, hey, I think that there have been some reductions. You know, if you look at the data from the U.S. Energy Information Administration, basically from the federal government as well, they issue, you know, frequent reports on carbon dioxide emissions, and kind of the one that I quoted in the story that I think is most interesting is that energy-related carbon dioxide emissions in the first quarter of 2012, and you always compare quarters for good reason because of fluctuations throughout the year, but those were actually the lowest in 20 years since 1992, and but that's in you know pure numbers, and obviously there were you know a lot less people back in 1992. So I don't know how to compare you know emissions from trucks, I guess, and in mines to what are really pretty substantial reductions that result from the use of natural gas.
Yeah, our guest that we just talked to in our first half hour, who was talking about how Wisconsin needs to diversify its electricity sources, said that natural gas was better than coal for the greenhouse gas emissions. But he also said that natural gas is only a temporary energy solution. It is a fossil fuel. He thinks Wisconsin and the nation, for that matter, needs to do more in terms of solar and wind and biomass and all these other things. Yeah, any thoughts on that?
Sure. I mean, I don't dismiss the use of solar or wind. I mean, but in terms of natural gas, you know, I mean, cheap natural gas, which is a much cheaper source of energy. You know, the estimates are that there's enough of these natural gas resources in the U.S. and Canada to supply current rates of consumption for another 100 years. So we have a lot of this, and it's in the United States. And you need a diversified sources of energy, and wind and solar are good sources. They're more expensive, but I mean, to say that we're, our natural gas supply is going to go away, or that we shouldn't use it anytime in the near future, that's unrealistic.
Willem in Colfax, you're on the air.
Hi, I live about 4 miles from a place called Cooks Valley, where there are several sand mines, and the number of trucks hauling and the diesel fuel that's used in both the manufacturing and hauling and processing, I think, is a significant amount. And the thing I think that one has to realize, if you're going to be honest about this, and if you're talking about 100 years of fracking gas wells, then you have to accept that that is going to change the topography of western Wisconsin as we've known it for forever. These ridges are being removed. The trees, which take carbon out of the air, are being removed. And I would invite people to go see a video called The Price of Sand, so we at least understand what's involved here. This is not a happy solution. This is an environmental degradation on a scale that we have not witnessed in the state of Wisconsin.
All right, so it's a different sort of environmental degradation, Mike Nichols.
Sure. I mean, as I acknowledged, I'm not going to try to minimize those, and I don't. I hope your listeners will read the article, and I'll read from it right now. No one can deny that the sand mines have an impact on the Wisconsin landscape, and it's one that goes well beyond the appearance of the processing plants that dry and sift the sand. I mean, there are people who feel like this is something synonymous to strip mining. So if you live right next to one, I mean, the folks on the other side who own the mines and run them and the processing plants have a different perspective. But again, it's weighing positives and negatives.
And we did provide a link to that piece on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Eddie in Ferryville, you're on the air.
Hi, yes, this is Edie. Thank you.
I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I wanted to speak on the economic issues, and one is the conflict with tourism. Very recently, the Pepin County Board is looking at an ordinance to preserve the Great River Road, the National Scenic Byway, putting an overlay on their zoning to restrict the amount of heavy traffic. The truck traffic is causing a real problem for the tourism industry in Wisconsin. And in addition, the conflicts with agriculture has come up as well. We're taking thousands of acres out of forest and ag use land. And as much as like 3,300 acres in some counties. And so that's one of the issues I wanted to speak to. Price of Sand is great. It's showing in Gays Mills at 7 o'clock on May 17th and Richland Center on May 15th at 7 o'clock. It is a really good film to show kind of both sides and what happens in communities, both economically but also in terms of the what goes on when you start so dramatically changing communities and what it does to people's lives.
Yeah, a response to that, Mike Nichols?
Oh, no, sure. You know, there are places for these mines, and certainly there are places where they should not be, and that's why these are local decisions. You know, there are 72 counties in this state. The frac sand industry is prevalent probably in about 15 of them, and, you know, really big in places like Trempealeau and Barron County, but, you know, it goes all the way down sort of over to Monroe. Sure, you know, obviously we have many beautiful, pristine places in the state that tourists flock to and that we who live here appreciate. And there are many places where these sand mines, number one, don't make sense and aren't appropriate. But again, you know, trying to look at the broader issues here and impacts, you know, not just environmentally and locally, but also globally and on the environment. And on our jobs, so you know, you can always weigh environmental concerns versus jobs, and you know, that's a valid debate.
Yeah. Anybody have any comment on these proposed regulations from State Senator Kathleen Vinehout? Maybe one of them would establish a distance between a home and a frac sand mine.
Are you asking me?
Yes.
You know what? I'm not sure exactly what kind of distance she's proposing. I would suggest that anybody who's really interested in getting into it looks at a DNR report from August of 2011 on it's a silica study that gets into really what has happened elsewhere in the country in terms of studies that look at potential impacts of airborne silica. It's known as silicosis, and there are people who feel like there are a lot of health impacts. But you know, I'll just quote directly from the study of the states that have looked into this, and it's Texas, California, Vermont, New York, New Jersey, Michigan. Emissions, they've looked into these emissions of what they call crystalline silica. The states have not shown impacts from these sources on health. And so, I mean, I can quote more from this, but you know, Wisconsin has regulated what they call particulate matter, which is, you know, various types of things in the air for 4 years. And the controls for particulate matter are the same controls for this crystalline silica. So you know, the DNR's, you know, it's not like the DNR is ignorant of the issue. They've looked at it and studied it.
Tom in Green Bay is with us. Hi, Tom. Did we answer your question?
He answered part of my question. The other thing, the question I had is regarding, you know, they regulated the windmills because of the noise they were making to these people that live next to them. This, if you watch that, the price of silicone or frac sand, they talk about that in there, and you haven't heard people raising that issue over there, which I really find kind of interesting. Who's getting paid off in relationship to not letting this voices be heard from the dust and the noise and everything else that's associated? That's much more noisier than a windmill.
I'm sorry. So you're saying that the homeowners near the wind turbines got their way. How come the homeowners near frac sand mining aren't?
Probably try to find a group to counter what he's talking about the benefits. The homeowners over there that are really against this, because there are people over there that do not like the silicone or the frac sand.
Yeah, right. Well, we have had State Senator Kathleen Vinehout on the air a while back. And Mike Nichols, you're saying that you covered this issue from different angles.
Yes, mm-hmm. And the folks, and in fact, I quote some homeowners who are near one of the processing plants over there who don't like the impacts that you're talking about, the noise from the trucks and the trains. I mean, I was in Barron County, and there's actually a new rail that, you know, the economic side of it is, hey, it's a $35 million investment in a dormant rail line that now is has all kinds of economic benefits. But, hey, but there are people who live right next to it who don't like the trains running and the trucks running at night. So, again, yeah, there are local impacts, but, you know, these things are and issues are considered at the local board level and, you know, not just by one board at the state. There are just all kinds. I mean, again, 15 counties that deal with this and all kinds of townships and whatnot. So with all due respect, I mean, to imply that everybody's being paid off in all these places, I haven't seen even one allegation of that.
Well, we have just a minute to go, Mike Nichols. What's the takeaway for our listeners today when it comes to frac sand mining in your piece?
You know what? The people who have concerns about it, we have to acknowledge that. But if you look at the broader issues, enormous economic value to the state of Wisconsin, and if you look at the global issues, probably a very positive environmental impact as well, Joy.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Mike Nichols, Wisconsin Policy Research Institute Senior Fellow and author of a piece on frac sand mining. That is in the current issue of the Wisconsin Policy Research Institute's publication, Wisconsin Interest. And we have linked that to the Joy Curdine Show Facebook page. Thanks to Bill Martins, to Jane Rotunda, and to Amanda Magnus for producing and directing this program. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Curdine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.